Before we get into today's episode, we want to tell you that the ESPN College Football Podcast is now 5 days a week. Hosts Kurt Herbstreit, David Pollack, and Kevin Negande are back and joined this year by Reese Davis, Matt Barry, Paul Feinbaum, Booger McFarland, and Joey Galloway. From weekend reaction to Monday morning previews, the ESPN College Football Podcast has it covered by the voices and perspectives you want to hear from. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Also, we've been telling you for weeks now, the Peabody and Emmy Award-winning 30 for 30 film series presents Once Upon a Time in Queens, a four-part documentary event about the city, the swagger, and the wild ride of the 1986 Mets. This documentary explores the epic tale of one of baseball's most dominant and iconic teams in their legendary World Series comeback. Hear from former Mets players and fans, including Darryl Strawberry, Keith Hernandez, Bill Burr, Cyndi Lauper, and more. All four parts of Once Upon a Time in Queens are available to stream on ESPN Plus and the ESPN app immediately. Hey guys, welcome to today's DC and RC. We'll preview Fury versus Wilder 3, but first, we got to preview this weekend's fight between Mackenzie Dern and Marina Rodriguez. Now, as we spin forward to this weekend, we talk about a person that things have turned for quickly, Mackenzie Dern. Mackenzie Dern started in the UFC, was fighting great, lost the fight. People were ready to write her off, but now she's submitting everybody, and now she finds herself tied for fourth with Yael Shannon, and she's fighting Marina Rodriguez, or Rodriguez, because in Brazilian they say H for R's, for Marina Rodriguez this weekend at the Apex. When you look at this fight, and you look at Rodriguez with her fantastic striking, and you look at Mackenzie Dern with her unbelievable grappling, it's one of those fights where it feels, honestly, for the most part, like specialists.
Right.
Even though Rodriguez is a very good grappler in her own right, and Mackenzie is willing to stand and strike, it would not benefit her to stay standing for too long, and it would not benefit Rodriguez to be on the ground for too long. So what's the excitement level for the strawweights as they go into the octagon this weekend?
Well, I mean, the excitement level is who stylistically can make the other person fight their fight. Right. And I think that's always what I pay attention to, like who can stay up. Like I think back to Anderson Silva, Damian Maia. Damian Maia is laying on the ground. Anderson Silva was walking away and walking around because he didn't want to be a part of that fight. And Damian Maia didn't want to be a part of a fight that stayed on his feet. And I remember Dana White being ticked off because he felt like Silva through a few fights wasn't exciting. But why would he go to the ground with Damian Maia when you know that's exactly what he wants to do? And so both of these women are going to have to step into the octagon and figure out how to draw the other person into my fight. How do I get an opportunity to excel at what I do well? And I think that's part of the matchmaking of the UFC, but it's also part of the training camp. It's part of the understanding of getting people to come to me. Like, I understood that if I'm guarding Randy Moss, I need to make sure I take away the deep ball and make him play my game, which is physicality. He also understood he wanted to get me one-on-one in space.
And I think RC, that's I like that.
Yeah, listen.
I like that, RC. You gave him that physical? You gave him that physical, RC?
Hey,
you got physical with Moss?
And I also called Troy and Ike over so we could double team him on the deep balls. See, ain't no double teaming. Ain't no double teaming in the octagon, bro. It's just like, you and him.
That must have been crazy looking at Randy Moss across the line of, like, I'm gonna stop this dude.
Well, you know what happened, DC?
To stop this dude?
I would just understand that some people leave the hospital with more, and Randy Moss left the hospital with a little more speed than RC had. So we just made sure we made it ugly and physical. But Mackenzie Dern is, we know that she's a submission specialist. We know that if she gets this to the ground, this could be over. But there's also some other people that have fought in the UFC, DC, are submission specialists, who are the people that we look at and say, you know what? You don't want to go to the ground with this person because the fight could be over quickly. So, as usual, you know, we take it back to the last rankings we had, the BMF draft, right? This isn't a draft. BMF draft, I absolutely blow you out. Your team isn't even close, right? Like, you kept talking, and you were like, okay, ain't no way that DC's team beats RC teams. You get to the end, and you pick the whole Diaz Mafia because I'm beating you so badly. You remember that? You not remember that?
I do. RC, but wait a minute. Now, I'm going to ask you something. to this point, you've been very cordial in letting me go first. Now, are you going first this time? Are you going first? This
was absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So, okay. So here's what happened. So Corporate Jake is texting me, and he's getting my list. And he's kind of going through it, and I was like, well, okay, so how does it work? Is it a draft? He's like, no, it's not a draft. You're going to put the list up. And he says that you go first. And I immediately was like, come on, bro, thanks a lot. Because I know what's going to happen is you're going to do your list, right? And then we're going to have some of the same names, and everybody's going to be like, oh, RC's a casual. He just took DC's list. And hell nah, I ain't going for it. Right.
Okay, so, let's go. Let me hear it.
So I'm going to give you my list. Brother. So I'm gonna start from the bottom, right? Can I start from the bottom, Corporate Jake? Or do I need to start from the top?
You can start from the bottom.
Starting from the bottom at number five, I'm going Frank Mir. Right? The old sleepy name. Somebody you ain't think about, right? You got to think about the submission on Nog. That was at 140? I think Dana White said it was like the greatest submission of all time.
Wait. You're dropping events now? Now you're dropping the Vince.
That was the event. Just because you can't remember. Now, at number four, people going to sleep on this one, DC, because I know you're going to sleep on this one, and don't try to steal it for your list. Ronda Rousey, at her prime, that arm bar was the scariest submission in the sport. Nobody wanted to go to the ground with Ronda, and you know it. Ronda just forgot and started trying to fight everybody on their feet, and that's when we got Holly Holm and Amanda Nunes. Then at number three, Damian Maia. I brought him up earlier. Damian Maia, you already knew what type of ground game he had the jiu-jitsu. Even Anderson Silva, who was actually good on the ground, knew better than to go to the ground with him. At number two, Charles Oliveira. I think he has 14 submissions. Oh my God. I think he's the leader in the UFC in submission wins, right? And at number one, got to go with my guy Gracie. Because you know – and I know he's the whole reason for this. He was submitting people that was like 250 back in the day before the UFC had any sense, before Dana White was bald-headed and swole and fixed his teeth. He was the man that started it all. Everybody understood that if you went in there against Gracie, you had trouble. My list is for sure better than your list. It's not even going to be close because you're going to start with Khabib at number one and you're going to finish with Islam Makhachev at number five. We already know.
Ryan, hey.
Thank you.
You know the slow clap? You know that slow clap? Hey, that slow clap whenever you at the opera or when you're doing some stuff that you never thought you would do in your life, you know, with that money has allowed for you to do, going to plays and stuff, that slow clap, I give you one. But let me give you my list. At number five, I have a tie, Ryan. I have a tie.
How do you?
Of course I have a tie. Right, of course. Ryan, I have a tie at number five. I'm going Frank Mir and Big Nog. Big Nog also had a ton of submissions in the octagon, and he was good. At number four, Mackenzie Dern. Mackenzie Dern has the only leg lock submission in UFC female fighting history. She has four submissions, tied for the most in the weight class's history, maybe the most in the history of the weight class. At number three, I'm going for Fabricio Werdum.
Oh, good
he
one.
He submitted Cain Velasquez in a UFC championship fight. Not only that, though, you can't forget about the submission of Fedor Emelianenko and Strikeforce and all those other places. At number two, I got Ronda Rousey, because who was not only submitting everybody with the same move, but also timing it? Do you remember when she used to walk out there with a timer? Her coach would walk out there with a stopwatch, and she would try to beat the time from the fight before. And I'll never forget the first title fight she had against Liz Carmouche in Anaheim, and it was crazy for her to be fighting in Southern California. It was just game changing, and for Ronda to win in the way that she did was it
Carmouche or Misha Tate that got her back, that got Ronda's back early in the fight?
No, it was Liz got her back.
Got her back.
Yeah, and then she came back and she hit her with the armbar. And last, I gotta agree with you, Royce Gracie. I mean, he's the king of submission. So that's my list.
So basically, I
forgot Charles Oliveira. I forgot Charles Oliveira, and I think that's what's going to lose it for me. I'm actually going to admit that you got me, because I forgot the guy with the most submissions in UFC history, Charles Dubronx Oliveira. And the moment you said it, you know when you got like that big swallow? I had that big swallow, and it just really, I was like, God dang, he got me.
You know who used to do this? Kobe being Bryant. That's what I feel Kobe like right now.
Kobe
also,
Bean.
DC, I'm actually shocked. Did you call Khabib before this and say, listen, I really want to put you at number one on this list. You know you're my favorite fighter of all time. I truly don't believe any of these people are better than you, but RC is giving me a lot of crap all the time about loving you more than I love myself, and so I can't really put you on this list. Like, did you text him? Like, do they text in Dagestan? Like, I don't know.
No. They text, yeah, but,
okay.
You know, I never thought about him for this list. You know, he dominated, he submitted people, but we're talking about the greatest submission artist in the history of the game, and I didn't have him up there. In terms of grappling dominance, yes, but in terms of straight submissions, I can't easily say that he would have been on the list. But I honestly, hey, you got it, Doug. You got it. You know, now I have to kind of, you know, take a deep breath. I need to relax, right? And how do I relax?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, Ryan, not only is Mackenzie Dern fighting Marina Rodriguez, my boy Deron Wynn also going to be making his return to the Octagon fighting against a very tough Phil Hawes. Big fight for Deron. Big fight card this weekend. I cannot wait to watch it from the comforts of my home. I've been working so much. Ryan, you know what time it is. We've arrived at that time. It's time to tap in or tap out. And Corporate Jake, join us, my friend.
Jorge Masvidal says that he is moving on from a potential Leon Edwards bout. RC, tap in or tap out on Masvidal making this stand?
I tap in on it because I think at some point you got to call it quits. At some point you got to say, you know what, this dude doesn't necessarily want to fight me, and I need to start at least behaving like it was my decision to move on. Obviously, Leon feels that he's too high in the rankings to fight a guy like Jorge Masvidal. He believes that he deserves the opportunity to face Kamaru Usman for the belt, and fighting Jorge Masvidal would be beneath him. And so if he's going to feel this way, if he's going to behave this way, you can't keep, after a while, calling a dude out constantly ends up becoming begging. And if you're Jorge Masvidal, if you're Street Jesus, you never want it to be that you're begging for a fight or you're looking to someone else to give you relevance in the weight class.
RC, I'm tapping out. Because how in the world can you move on from somebody when they begged for you for a year? Like Leon Edwards, when that two-piece and a biscuit thing that he did,
right.
That's when that fight was at the heart of its rivalry.
Right.
But at that time, he was the man. He was fighting for the belt, so he didn't want to look at Leon. Why in the world should Leon Edwards not want to look back to you guys? And I'm saying you guys because Gilbert Burns, too. Gilbert Burns is guilty of this. They did not want to talk about Leon Edwards at all whenever they were the ones on the shortlist for a championship fight. Right. Now Leon is the guy in that position, and they want to call him out. No, Leon. Rocky, get the title shot that you so justly deserve. Don't waste your time. I'm tapping out, Ryan. Corporate Jake.
Sean O'Malley has his next fight booked, but not against anyone he's been calling out in the top 10. So, DC, tap in or out, O'Malley fighting another non-big-name fighter?
You know what? I got to tap in because he's fighting a ranked fighter for the first time. When you look at Hyolyn Paiva, he's a guy that's ranked. He's not top 10, but he's like right around 14, 15. So now O'Malley's finally fighting a ranked guy, and when he wins, if he wins, he'll be in the rankings. So now he'll have no choice but to start the fight up towards the top 10 of the division.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sean O'Malley, I'm going to tap in on this because Sean O'Malley was kind of calling for some names that he didn't necessarily deserve by the wins he already had in the UFC. Poppy is coming off of a very exciting fight, of a fight that he, you know, he was rocked in and he had to come back and show some way to fight through adversity and show some toughness. And so now you have a guy in Sean O'Malley whose stardom probably outweighs his record, or his stardom probably outweighs his opponents. And so now to get him in a fight against a ranked opponent, even though it's not top 10, it at least says now we are ascending in our choice of opponent. We are now getting to a point to where we're going to start fighting some dudes who could put us in real danger. And so I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this matchup, and I'm definitely tapping in. I'll be tuned in to see Sean O'Malley take to the octagon his next fight.
Yeah, that's a good fight for him. Corporate Jake, hit us with another one.
So on Sunday, we saw the Ravens go against the unwritten rules of football by attempting to keep a streak alive rather than take a knee at the end of the game. RC, tap in or tap out on abiding by unwritten rules in sports?
I tap out on that. I absolutely tap out on unwritten rules. Unwritten rules are stupid, right? Yeah. Like, you know, like baseball, they don't want you to bat flip. Well, why in the hell am I not going to flip this bat when you just pitched this ball 100 miles an hour and I hit it 400 feet? I should be able to flip the bat. I should be able to backflip if I want to backflip. Do all that stuff, right? Like the stupid taunting rule, right? If I make a play on you, last night, Darren Waller on Monday Night Football, he spikes the ball and that's taunting? No, you should have covered him. And so for me, if John Harbaugh, when a game is already won, is going to run former MVP and franchise quarterback Lamar Jackson on a quarterback sweep, on a called quarterback run, guess what? I'm getting in a sprinter stance and I'm trying to run through everybody and hit Lamar Jackson in his face mask. If you want people to stop doing things that you feel like are part of the unwritten rules of a sport, tell you what you do, bust them in their face. I bet they stopped then. So for me, nah, you ain't got to abide by the rules, and neither do I. If you want to run him late in the game, I could try to kill him late in the game. So nope, I'm tapping out on this.
Hey, RC, I'm tapping out. RC, I'm actually tapping out too. Because we play video games, I'm still trying to score.
Yeah.
And if I almost got a triple-double in the NBA, and all I got to do is get a rebound, I'm hoping that my teammate lets me get that rebound. If I don't get the trash talk after fighting, because it's supposed to be all kumbaya after the match, I'm talking trash. I don't like unwritten rules because I feel like they're in place to protect somebody's feelings. The only way to keep your feelings protected is by ensuring that nobody has the opportunity to hurt them.
Yep.
So I'm tapping out on unwritten rules in sports. And Coach Harbaugh, keep your streak alive. Because now I think they're at 100 games or something like that.
No.
Where they've had 100 yards rushing every single time. So
it's
I'm
a record.
Tapping out.
Yeah, like they've tied the record. So we're talking about tapping out, right? Because obviously that's a part of your sport. That's a part of the sport you are a future Hall of Famer in. Are there any unwritten rules in MMA? Because it seems like it would be hard to have rules in a sport that's a combat sport where it's mano a mano, two individuals in the octagon.
You're not supposed to hit a guy whenever they go to bump. You know how they all go to bump before the fight starts?
Like, yeah.
You're not supposed to hit a guy. We've seen that a few times. You're not supposed to talk trash. You don't really talk trash after. Even if you got beef, everybody want to see everybody come together and hug. Like,
right.
No, I'm not into all those. Like, those are probably the unwritten rules. There are some things. Hey, what happens in the gym stays in the gym. That's one that you kind of try to abide by for sure.
Right.
You don't want to bring those gym stories out into the world.
So you mean like if a dude gets put to sleep sparring or something like that?
Yeah, you don't want to. Yeah, you don't want to get. You don't want to start talking about knocking somebody out in practice. That's why T.J. Dillashaw and Cody Garbrandt got so nasty, because Cody kept talking about him knocking T.J. out. I think they might have even released the footage of T.J. getting knocked out in practice. You know, those are some of the unwritten rules in mixed martial arts.
So it was like that series you're about to be in, Warrior, where they released the footage of the gym when my man was fighting for $200 and he knocked dude out, and that's how he got to be a part of the whole Kumite or whatever it was. I mean, that's Bloodsport, which is a great movie too. You know what I mean?
Bloodsport was a great movie, yes.
So Corporate Jake, tee us up one more time, man.
Speaking of combat sports, a big time trilogy takes place Saturday night between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. DC, you know a thing or two about trilogies. Tap in or tap out on this third fight going differently than the second?
Oh, I don't think it's tapping out. I don't think it's going differently. I wish Deontay Wilder would have taken a fight in the meantime. Mm-hmm. Because Tyson Fury, the first fight, Tyson Fury was putting it on him. And then Deontay dropped him late in order to make it a draw. The second fight, Tyson literally just put it on him the whole time. So if I'm a fan of Deontay Wilder, I'm tapping out. Deontay and I were on the Olympic team together. I'm tapping out of that fight. I wish he would have did something different. I don't believe it's going to be much different. I saw Tyson Fury in an interview yesterday, and he seems so focused. He seems so locked in, and he really feels like he wants to kill Deontay Wilder. And he's a big guy, way too heavy for Wilder. And I envision the fight's going to look very, very similar to the second fight.
I'm tapping out, DC, and I'm tapping out sadly. Because I enjoy watching Deontay Wilder fight. I enjoy watching somebody who I don't necessarily think has the greatest of boxing skill. He doesn't necessarily have the traditional heavyweight body. But when he puts the gloves on someone, they fall. And you're exactly right about the first fight. Tyson Fury is, in the words of Lennox Lewis, a pugilist specialist. Tyson Fury understands the game of boxing. He understands how to hit and not get hit. And that was Deontay Wilder's one opportunity. When he dropped Tyson late in that fight, and then Tyson got up like the Undertaker.
How did he get up?
That was
how did he get up? You know, like, how did he get up? Like, how did he get up from that?
He was just supposed to, bro. He was just supposed to. And so now, and so you think about the last fight and the way it went, Deontay Wilder saying his walk-in outfit was too heavy and his legs were shot. I think if I were hearing that Deontay Wilder was doing something way different than he's ever done, if he was training differently, if he was working with different boxing and defensive specialists, I think I'd feel differently about this fight. But keeping the same thing, and the main thing, you have to go with Tyson Fury with another win over Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, you got to, man. And it, like you said, it's sad because Deontay never really was the technical boxer.
Yes.
But you know that with the power that he possessed, he could put anybody out. So it's going to be a great fight weekend. And I think this is the biggest boxing fight that you could have right now. You watch that live on pay-per-view, ESPNplus.com/pay-per-view. Wilder and Fury, for the third time, the trilogy gets completed on this weekend. Biggest fight in boxing. Because Anthony Joshua completely blew it 2 weeks ago. So this is the biggest fight that we get. The heavyweight championship of the world. The baddest man on the planet gets decided this weekend. Also, tune in to watch Marina Rodriguez take on Mackenzie Dern to see who, Ryan, may be the next to challenge for the UFC strawweight championship. Now, for the first time in the show's history, RC, I openly say, my friend, you won the list.
First off, the only reason I never win any other time is because Jake makes some draft and you take my people and they always let you go first. And so right now, I want to thank my mom for giving me Google and allowing me to be able to go back and look through and find all these great fighters. I want to thank DC, Corporate right Jake, here, and Glenn for the opportunity. This really means a lot to me. I'm going to have the DC and RC list belt. I'm going to get it made this week. I'll have it on the show next week.
Hey, man, you're supposed to win with class. But, I mean, with that get-up that you're wearing right now, you look very sophisticated.
I'm not.
You look sophisticated, but you are not acting like that.
Bro,
you win with
I'm
class,
from the West
Ryan.
Bank. I'm Act from the like West Bank of New Orleans. Nobody's ever considered that class.
Hey, you need to learn to win and act like you've been here before, man. It's like a defensive player scoring a touchdown. Hey, y'all dancing,
I
y'all
want
shimmying.
To apologize to absolutely no one.
Oh, my God. Now you Conor McGregor. Now you Conor McGregor. And for Ryan Clark, I'm Daniel Cormier. Until next week, we'll see you guys next time. Peace.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.